I'm Eric.
I'm Jason.
And we're I Beat It First. Yay!
Yay! Clink, welcome clink, to I Beat It First. Cheers. Cheers. How that works, whatever.
Cheers, everybody.
Here's okay, hoping now, for a first episode that has no technical issues. Good luck.
We're off to a banging start right now. Knock
we're
on off, wood.
We're doing great. We're doing great so far.
Everything's working fine.
We'll see. But that's now our new MO. In just like everything else in 2025, this is just, we're hoping it works. But welcome in. Oh, welcome in.
All right. Oh, God. We were talking about it, but I obviously couldn't ask the question because I didn't want to spoil it. But what are you drinking, Jay, now that you...
Oh, shit. Right. I am drinking Iredale Amber. There's a shipwreck out here called the Peter Iredale that you can go visit. And it's still just of a ship out on the coast. And so Fort George made a beer about it. And it's delicious. I think it's very good for an amber. And I am very much excited for it.
Fort George got good beer.
They do. I mean, as much as mainstream as they are up here, you know, it's one of those things just like, well, they keep pumping out beer. They keep pumping out a lot of beer and it's always pretty good. So I'm like hard pressed to like not keep drinking it. And then I wonder why I'm not losing weight. And then I keep drinking beer and I don't know what's going on.
They are way less mainstream, in my opinion, than that Pelican place that we went to.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean,
that was like walking into a rock bottom.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I think that's just like distribution size. I don't know how big Pelican Brewing is in comparison, but you know, there's only one Fort George. So I guess there's that.
There's not multiple locations. So, you know, they've got that going for them, at least.
They got that going for them, at least.
Yes.
What about you, Eric? What are you drinking?
I have a margarita.
A margarita.
I have a margarita.
Cinco de Mayo is next month, man.
Yeah, but it's next week, basically. It's a week away. You say next month is, I mean, you're technically right, but Cinco de Mayo is a week away. No, Shannon felt like margaritas on Friday, so she stopped and got tequila and margarita mix, and I'm drinking the last of the tequila.
What tequila? What margarita mix?
It's Tres Amigos Blanco, or okay, Three good. Amigos Blanco, and Tres Amigos organic margarita mix.
Is that the one you can get at Target? I don't remember where. It has like, it's green bottle. They're all green bottles.
No.
Fuck.
No, it's not a green bottle.
Okay. I don't know then.
Yeah. Clear bottle, but it's basically, it's like lime juice, water, agave. Like it's perfect. Very minimal as far as what's in it. But then I've got some tahine in it. Not tahini. That would be weird. And some habanero flakes.
Nice. I mean, I know that that's good.
It's a slightly spicy margarita.
I know that's good. I am not a fan. Like, you and I are spice heads. I think we're pretty equal when it comes to like spice and being able to enjoy spice, whatever. But when it comes to drinking spice, I'm just not a big fan of that. I don't know what that's about.
It can't be too much. So like I only put like a little bit of the habanero flakes in it so that it's got like just a little tinge. I mean, this would probably be way too spicy for my wife. It's like just perfect. You get, especially for this, because you get a little bit of sweet, you get sour, and you get the spice. So it all kind of like mixed together. I think it's delicious.
There you go, man. I'm just more intrigued that you're actually drinking a margarita. Like I haven't seen you do that in decades, I feel like.
Since your wedding. Probably.
Yeah, well, I mean, the wedding's a little different. I mean, we were drinking everything then, and we were just in Mexico, so of course you just had to drink it all.
I mean, it's true. And by drink it all, we're not joking. We were on a cruise for Jason's wedding. We stopped at, I forget what the port was, Portugal in Mexico, and we drank a bar out of, and like, this wasn't like a thing where like the bartender told us like, oh, you drank us out of beer. We can't serve you anymore because you're too fucking drunk, which we were pretty shit-faced. But no, I overheard the bartender having to turn down new customers because they were out of beer and they were waiting for a guy, like one of the other guys, to come back from another bar trying to barter for their beer.
It wasn't just beer, Eric. It was, oh, yeah, it was also their tequila. Yeah. They were giving us margaritas made with vodka because they're just like, they're too fucked up. They're not even going to notice anyway. So they were just giving us whatever that they could.
We knew. We called them out on it. They're like, we're out of tequila. Care. And we're like, makes sense. And there, it wasn't like there was like 50 people too. This was like 12 to 14 people, I think, in the group that was with us.
Definitely less than 20. Definitely less than
20. Yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely less than 20 because it was just like, it was like a lot of the younger people at that point. Young.
We all were young ones.
I mean, I got married in my 20s. So, and this was before Ronan was born. So I was still in my 20s.
I was definitely in my 20s. I think, I don't remember. That was, I mean, this is coming up on not quite yet 20 years, but pretty far back.
No. Yeah. Shannon and I hit 18 this year.
Holy smokes.
And we hit 19 dating, like, as of just like in general being together soon.
Stupid. That's way too long.
It's way too long. Our marriage can buy lottery tickets.
Can go to war, can vote.
Yes, can vote. Can't buy cigarettes, can't buy alcohol. But it can learn how to and kill people.
That makes sense.
I mean,
Your relationship most marriages is slowly a murderer,
kill me, though, so it's fine.
There you go. There's the answer.
Oh, we gotta have the joke in there. Come on, it's like a prerequisite joke for it. Oh man. Oh,
games, Jesus. Gaming podcast. Let's talk about games. That's what we're here to do.
I don't know games. What are games?
I don't know. Mostly, it's just about bitching. That's what I want to do. I like bitching. This has become the bitching time.
He does like the bitching, everybody. That is kind of like I do it about this, which is why, like, so I messaged Jason just to make sure that we were still on. And I hadn't started touching the podcast notes because I usually do that like an hour before I go through and I prep them. And he's like, yeah, you still good? I'm like, yeah, no, just making sure. And he's like, I already put notes in, and everything is being a bitch. even one of them that is kind of like a good one still has a little bit of bitchiness in it.
No, there's one that's all praise. There's one that's all praise.
Which one?
The first one I put in.
Oh yes, this is true.
That's a praise.
Okay. We'll go with the first one. Tell us what the first one is, Jason.
All right, Bethesda Shadow Dropped Oblivion Remaster. It looks more like a remake because it's so freaking beautiful. No one was expecting this. I wasn't expecting this. I mean, I heard rumors. I heard like thoughts, but I was like, nah, they're not going to do that. They're not going to go back to Oblivion. It's probably too old for them to want to do it because it'd take way too much to do without them hyping it up. I mean, how many times did they have Skyrim on each and individual stupid thing that it was released on? So
your phones, right?
I was just floored. Floored that they didn't like say anything about it, that they didn't like hype it up like crazy, and all of a sudden just like, hey, here's this dope ass game, it's on Game Pass, and we're also going to bring it to PS5, have fun. And it was just like, holy shit, this is amazing.
Yeah, you know who else was who was surprised by it? The makers of Clair Obscur Expedition 33. They were not super happy about the shadow drop for it because their game came out the exact same day, and there was barely any fanfare on launch day. Thankfully, they've actually hit a lot of good numbers over this last weekend, so they've been getting press for it. But yeah, man, poor them. But I mean, that's
they're doing great though.
On there. Yeah,
exactly. They're doing great. I know you're about to jump into this, but for what it is and the amount of press that was around either of these games, if you go look at any kind of like anything on Reddit or any like gaming blog or anything like that, or even us just fucking talking about it right now, it's these two games right now over the last couple of weeks. And it's just like, that's a huge thing because, you know, Bethesda, given all of their mistakes that they have or have not made in the past, like, you know, whatever you want to say, definitely doing this and doing it well is still a powerhouse to compete with. So now having this smaller team come in and able to not only go toe-to-toe, but still make waves, I think is huge.
Yeah, they actually have beaten concurrent Steam records for, I think it was Baldur's Gate 3.
Holy shit, serious? I know they just passed Metaphor, but I didn't.
Oh, no, it was Metaphor. Sorry. Okay. There's also lots of news about Baldur's Gate 3. So
that's true. There's a lot going on. This has been a nice month. I actually am kind of happy with a lot of stuff, even though, you know, I've been kind of in a running through my past catalog rut. But it's been nice to like see all this new stuff and get actually excited for games that are coming out again.
You mean past catalog rut, like how I finally am playing Witcher 3.
100%. I just re-beat it for like the third time, like 2 months ago. And then you're just like, I'm going to play it the first time. I'm just like, the first time? You crazy.
Okay, so it is, but it isn't the first time. Because I tried playing it, but I really hated the controls. And I was like, I can't do an entire game of these controls. But the new version, if you play it on PS5, they actually installed mods for it, and the one of the mods is better controls. And I'm playing with the better controls, and it runs better. I like it. Yeah, it's much easier to play. Yeah. So I'm playing Witcher 3 for the first time. I am almost done with the second DLC, so I'll be done with it soon. But by almost done with the second DLC, I mean I've done almost all the side quests, and I'm now finally going to start working on the main part. Perfect. This is what I did with the first one. I sat there and I did everything, and then I'm like, all right, I guess I'll go fucking save this dick. The guy was an asshole.
To be fair,
but at the end, it was kind of like a bittersweet thing. And I did all the things to make it, in my opinion, the happiest ending. I didn't take away the thing or the rose from his wife so that she like just disappeared into nothing. And basically, I think they said that she was going to go to hell. And then I also saved Dude Man from the trickster djinn wannabe guy. He was basically a djinn.
No, what's his name?
He was a djinn.
No, he's a demon, dude.
But power wise, everything like that. Like he's a fucking djinn. It's always monkey paw bullshit. And you gotta say it just right or else you get fucked. And they even make a comment about that.
Well, he says, what are you, a djinn? He's like, you know, pussyfooting around it. What's great, though, is that if you ever go back and play Witcher again, now that you know who he is, you see him throughout the game. And he really was at the very beginning that helped you like start the quest to find Yennefer. And it's just like, man,
and he
that's
says,
such
I'll
good
see
writing.
You again, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just such good writing. It's just like, oh, the heyday.
But it made
me
wonder.
I can't wait for 4.
It made me wonder how much was planned out for Blood and Wine and how much like did that get added in later or something like that? Like I wasn't 100% on that. Like did they change some dialogue within that or did they have him in there and then finally decide like, okay, that's what we're going to do with this guy? Or was it planned the entire way?
I think that I'm sure it's both. The only thing I would say is that his character model isn't used a whole bunch. So everyone's always said about how you see like John Cena everywhere in the game and stuff like that. And they use the same character models over and over a few different times, which
especially the prostitutes.
especially the prostitutes. Well, it's just nothing bad on CD Projekt Red, just saying that's what it was back in the day. And so, you know, the fact that Gunter...
Well, There's so many people.
So many people. It'd be impossible.
You would have to use AI
for a 10-year-old game.
A new one.
Right. Yeah. And that didn't exist 10 years ago. So 10-year-old game, still, you know, making us talk about it. I love it. Over Oblivion, which is also very old, but still very pretty. Not to change gears back to bitching, but my thing about Oblivion now. Okay, go ahead.
No. So we talked in our messaging about the rap battle, but so far now, because I thought that one was going to be like my best moment for Blood and Wine. No, my best moment for Blood and Wine is male voiced talking roach.
Oh God, yes.
And then, so if you don't do the optional dialogue, you miss on some fucking gems, because if you do the optional dialogue, he actually starts asking Roach, like, hey, what is it with this, like, I just blow a whistle and you appear? He's like, well, you know, you're my person. Like, I gotta come to you. Like, you whistle and I gotta come to you. He's like, yeah, but, Like sometimes I'll be on a different continent and I'll whistle and you'll immediately show up, but then you'll get stopped by a random fence. There's so much meta stuff that's popped up in this like DLC that I was just laughing my ass off. Okay. Anyways.
Well, that's when they also added the card, the Gwent card of Roach standing on the roof and Geralt's like, what the fuck? Because
which I still haven't gotten. Game,
well, you have to actually manually download it as a DLC. It's free, but you have to manually download it and say that you want to play with it. But
so if I do that, then does it actually change my Ciri card? Because the NPCs keep playing the Ciri card that then summons Roach automatically. But mine, like I, after it happened, I'm like, oh, maybe it just changed when I came here. I'm like, nope, my card still says the same thing.
No, you should have it then if the NPCs are playing it. I don't know. It's been a while since I am worried about it. But yeah, anyway, you're right. The meta of that game, again, to me, Witcher is one of the masterpiece games ever made. So I'm still looking forward to 4 and I don't care about much else.
Gwent sucked at first. Now I love Gwent.
You know, you do realize that I own all of the physical like versions of Gwent, right?
Yeah, but the problem is we need two decks. We gotta make two decks in order to play
three.
Gwent.
Oh, sweet. I 3.
I know what we're doing in July. We're gonna teach
we can play Gwent. We can play Gwent. Absolutely. No, I have 4 because did it come with Skellige? I think Blood and Wine 1 came with Skellige, so I think I have all 4.
That'd be 5 then.
So
you got the monsters, Nilfgaard. Yeah. You've got the Northerns or Rodania. But it's like all the Northerns. Then you got the elves.
I haven't looked.
Scoia'tael.
I don't think it came with Skellige. Monsters. I don't think the monster one is what it didn't come with. Or maybe it didn't come with Skellige.
Because Skellige got added in for Blood and Wine. And you can get monsters throughout the entire thing. Oh, that, I don't know.
I don't know.
I could look it up.
Anyway.
There's this thing called the internet. I don't know if you've heard of it.
This is more fun to reminisce like old men.
I remember back in my day.
I was playing Gwent in my hands. Babies give you use your hands.
It's like a baby's toy.
Like a baby's toy.
God. All right. Oblivion.
So much old. Anyway, Oblivion. It's great. Awesome. The only thing I would say is that it does show its age in the pacing, in my opinion. If you are going back to this thing being like, oh man, I remember playing Oblivion, it was super fun, I promise you're going to want to amp up the difficulty because it quickly turns into a walking sim. And it's just like, because it's easier now because you're so used to the mechanics that were brand new back then. And so if you're brand new to Oblivion, never played anything or Skyrim, you know, do whatever you want to do. If you're coming back to it, play on a higher difficulty, especially if you've been constantly playing games or, you know, have been playing Witcher for the last couple months and are jumping into Oblivion, it is a much slower pace.
I actually even saw an article where it was like, just like a caution of like, don't min-max and whatnot, because you will immediately make the game way too
easy. Oh, God. Well, I mean, that was the same thing with Skyrim. You know, by level like 25 in Skyrim, you're already just like, I one-shot everything. Like, there's no challenge to this game whatsoever. Everything bounces off me. I can't be seen even though I'm like right in front of people. Like, it's just like, same problem. But agreed. Enjoy the story. Enjoy the lore. It's some of the best. Final boss was still
saying that
that doesn't matter.
In Skyrim, you turn into John Cena?
You always turn into John Cena. All right, anyway, it's great. Expedition 33 looks awesome as well. I'm trying to move past these notes because we're spending a shit ton of time reminiscing.
We're fine. The podcast, the stream is only at 28 minutes total, and we've only been recording for 20. We're totally fine. Don't worry. We're just going to go.
Gotta keep up with our New Year's resolution.
Yeah, Expedition 33 looks great. I've already downloaded it because, by the way, it's free with Game Pass, best value in gaming. So if you've got Microsoft Game Pass, download it because it looks awesome.
It does. It looks beautiful. From what I understand in reading about the combat, it's very more interactive than a typical turn-based RPG. Watching some of the gameplay about it, it definitely looks like you're having to pay more attention. Bringing in elements of, like, you know, even Final Fantasy VIII with your triggered attacks and stuff like that, which is always fun. I mean, Mario RPG, a whole bunch of older games have already done that. And then also dodging mechanics as well, which is always super fun. And I don't understand why more turn-based RPGs didn't do a lot more of that. So I'm excited to get my time in it as well once I have some time for it, because it does.
Well, they didn't put it in. So more turn-based RPGs don't put it in because dodging is a mechanic of the turn. Missing and stuff like that is usually a dodge,
right? But making it into you have a little bit more an input.
I was just saying, like, that's usually why, though. Like, all the Final Fantasy games, it's because dodge is one of the things with missing.
I mean, shoot, even 7 brought in, I mean, because they're not even turn-based anymore with the 7 remake, but they at least even then had, like, the dodge encounter block, you know, mechanic that they have going in there, which is still, you know, I don't even know if I want to say turn-based in Final Fantasy VII Remake, but Rebirth, but
well, you still can make it turn-based.
You can make it more turn-based. It still has ATB, so I mean, it's not going to be
ATB, but you can make it pause when your ATB is set.
Right.
So then it's in essence turn-based, and you can still run around while you're like run around and try and not get hit while you're doing stuff. So that's there. It's like the best mix of an ARPG. And turn-based, although I still didn't do it.
The best, I am reserving on that, but I do think it is a great hybrid. I don't know. We'll have to see where they go with the third installment.
Wait, did I say best?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, whatever. I stand with what I said.
You know what? Fuck it, I love
best,
it.
It's the best so far. How's that? It's the best so far.
Okay, all right.
It could probably be better,
so far.
But it's the best so far, yes.
Yeah.
This is the worst day ever.
All right.
So far.
So far. Oh, my God.
Okay. You want to talk about the next one, I know.
Oh, sure. Ghost of Yotei to be released in October 5th. Yotei. God, I can never remember how to pronounce it.
Yotei.
Collector's Edition, however, is $250. There's no OST, but it does come with a pretty dope mask. Papercraft and probably a mimic of the game, that little mini game that's going to be in there, and a few other little swaggy bits.
Not even OSTs, a digital OST.
Not even a digital OST, man. I mean, to be fair, the OST in the original Ghost of Tsushima wasn't exactly like, you know, typical OST material. It's more ambiotic. I mean, it was still dope. I loved it. That was when I went out and got on my own, because it was just like, this is fantastic. Has a lot of that, like, ambient sound that's just really fun and great. So I imagine it's going to be the same thing here. So that's probably why they're not just like, hey, there's no, like, bangers in this, so why are we going to put it on OST? But yeah, that's still what makes video game OST great. I'm not doing it for, you know, my Beyonce collection. I'm doing it for, hey, I want this to be playing in the background while I'm cleaning shit. And that's what.
Well, maybe they finally just, like, sat there and they're like, why make this part of the thing when people are just going to listen to it on Spotify anyways?
Yeah. You know what? That is a big thing of it too. Everything going on Spotify, which is, you know, the love hate that, you know, that kind of goes down the whole thing of, like, what do you own thing too, that Ubisoft's fighting for games as well. And upset.
Okay. We'll make it so that we're not ending on this. So we're just going to jump into it mid setup for it. We have more complaints on the Switch too, everybody. And this is not nitpicking. This is serious problems that are being identified. A couple of them might just be nitpicking, but still, there's a lot of serious things that are going on with this. One is literally first party, other than Switch 2 upgrades, is Mario Kart at launch. That's it. And they're touting a bunch of third party games, which are mostly updates anyways. There's not a lot, if any, that I've seen that are real, true, brand new Switch 2 games launching with the console from third party people. So much so, and this is a huge juxtaposition set that you can see from now to way back in the day. Back in the olden days. And I mean, like, this is real. This really is olden days. This is older than some of our audience. But back during the days of the Super Nintendo, Nintendo had a launch-ish commercial. I don't remember exactly when it first aired, but I remember that it was around launch for it, or when the Super Nintendo was coming out, with a very young Ant-Man, Paul Rudd. And he was like playing games up on a big screen. He's going crazy, and he's doing every pantomime that you can see in like just random gamer bullshit that you see on like videos and stuff nowadays, or like stock images and photos of people gaming and being excited about gaming. And up on the screen is a fuck ton of different games. Like, we're talking Super Mario World, F-Zero, Metroid, Super Metroid, like a whole fuck ton of different games. Mario Kart was on there as well. And they've got just a ton of games that they're showing off for it. Well, Paul Rudd's obviously still alive. And since he's a fucking vampire, he still looks like, now he looks like he's like a college student instead of a high school student when he's recording this. And they did a new commercial for it, for the Switch 2. And he's doing a lot of the things like he's slamming the Switch 2 into the dock the same way that he did a Super Nintendo cartridge. But the only game that is shown is Mario Kart. Only just one. Mario Kart. And if you don't watch the two side by side, you don't think anything of it. But if you watch the original one, and they did it basically like shot for shot, like new, like remake of it, you see the difference in the amount of games that launched and were with the console at launch versus the amount of games now that are with it. And it's, that's a problem. What
blows me away. Yeah, that, I mean, it, especially since they knew what they were doing. They're like, we're going to do this one for one because that was such a great commercial back then. And it was just like, but you're not showcasing what made that commercial great. Yes, Paul Rudd's fun. Yes, and it's fun to be like, hey, this was like one of Paul Rudd's first things. Not that he was like a superstar back then. Now he is. Awesome. And are you trying to say the same thing about, you know, Nintendo in some way, but now you only get one thing rather than, maybe it's just saying that Paul Rudd's a shitty actor. Now he only does one piece of acting. Maybe that's what they're trying to say.
I don't know. All I know is that Shannon wasn't happy when she heard that they've got a Clueless series running on, that's in production for Peacock, that has Alicia Silverstone reprising her role as like an older person, I guess. But Paul Rudd is not seen anywhere as a confirmed person with the show.
Probably because he wanted like $1 billion. Like, oh, if he was smart, man. And did you know they're also making a musical about Clueless?
Ew.
Yeah. Get ready for all that funness.
It's like right up there with the Mean Girls musical.
Yeah.
Like, why? Shannon was pissed.
Because money.
She was pissed at that like newer release of Mean Girls. Because she didn't hear that it was the musical version, like it was based off of the Broadway play or the Broadway musical. So she went to see it, and she came home and she was angry.
That's
she
amazing.
Was so angry. She thought it was just like an update to it where they had like a remake for it. And I was like, oh, you didn't know it was a musical, honey? Yeah, no.
I didn't even realize that they did a theatrical release of that.
It was fairly recent. And it's
gross.
It's not good. It's not good.
Gross.
Okay. So that aside, let's move on to the games that are with it at launch.
More bitching. You know? More bitching.
The upgrades. So you will get Breath of the Wild and Tars of the Kingdom. They're both going to be $70. Insane.
By themselves.
$90 for each of these with the DLC. And the bullshit the bullshitted of bullshitted things is that you have to rebuy the DLC for the Switch 2 enhanced version because they added extra things to it. So your DLC of the Switch version, you'll have to play only that, which honestly is going to look perfectly fine and is going to run perfectly fine. There's actually really no fucking reason to get the Switch 2 enhanced version of either of these games, because what you really want is the frame rate improvements and the resolution improvements for it, which you're going to get no matter what.
If you're buying the game again.
No. If you play the Switch version on the Switch 2, you're still going to get enhanced frame rate because of the fact that the Switch's processing power was such shit. You can overclock your Switch to force it to do over 30 frames per second. And you don't have to do anything to the game to do that. It will just automatically run that way because the processor can allow it.
Do you have that confirmed? Because I thought that a big part of this was that the Switch 2 wasn't actually doing any backwards compatibility. It was more like a hybrid hardware emote.
No, it'll still play the Switch cartridges. That would be the worst possible decision if they did try to do that. But it does play Switch games so that you can trade your Switch in to get a Switch 2.
You may want to double check on that because I've heard a lot of things that it's just like you don't want to get rid of. Because, like, for example, like the SD cards are not compatible.
But that makes sense because if you're going to use it for any of the Switch 2 games, but the cartridges, it'll still read the cartridges. Okay, will Switch 2
read the cartridge,
be backwards compatible? Yes, the Nintendo Switch 2 will be backwards compatible with physical and digital Nintendo Switch games.
Right, but it's not like a typical backwards compatibility where like the PS2 had a full-on PS1 in it already to be able to play it just as a native PS1 game. It's doing like a half emulation / hardware acceleration type thing to actually play it.
No.
I don't know about that.
They're running on similar NVIDIA chipsets and the software is pretty much the same between them. So it's going to run it. Not all games are compatible though. Like not all games will work with it. And that's the same thing that happened with the PS4 to the PS5. Like not all of them will work for it, but all of them run better on a PS5. And the Switch games will run better on a Switch 2 because of the increased processing power.
They're supporting it because that's...
Which they are.
That's the big thing, at least for first party.
Yeah, well, first party, they're definitely going to make sure that like 99% of them are there. Third party, that's all up in the air as to whether or not they go back in and troubleshoot things. It may run and crash a bunch, like you never know, but shit like that happens when I play Witcher 3, so it'll just randomly crash on me. But that is as we were talking about
your price point for Witcher 3.
Oh, my price point for Witcher 3 was free, and then I spent $6 for both DLCs because they were on sale.
So
not $6 each, $6 for both.
This is the way. Because like one of the things I was reading, I was just like, if it's not possible for you to be able to play all of your games from the Switch onto the Switch 2, that there's any reason that you have to hold on to both, that would suck.
It's just because of if you really want to play those games that don't work on the Switch 2 or that they didn't go in and update it and it's going to run like shit just because.
Sure.
Their code or whatever for it. That's the only reason that you have to, but it will run, especially all the first party games, it will run them. You just don't get all the fancier new features with it, and you don't get the ability to go up to 4K. But 1080p at over 30 frames per second on Zelda, that's all you need, especially in handheld mode, because that fucking shit runs at like 20 to 22 frames per second in handheld mode.
So bad.
Yeah, it's so bad.
I don't know. Yeah. Fuck. I don't know why we're bitching about the price, though.
We're bitching about the price. And we're bitching about the fact that if you want to play the DLC on the Switch enhanced version of Zelda, you have to rebuy the DLC.
I mean, I know that the majority of the people aren't going to go out there and rebuy the entire game all over again, but the fact that there are people that will is what is, I think, maddening to me. And should I care? No, I shouldn't. But it's just like, it's a decision that is made by a large company that other large companies are going to be watching with great earnest. And if it's successful, we're going to see that continued. And even worse. Like, speaking of Oblivion, remember when the horse armor DLC was released and everyone was like, who the fuck's gonna buy horse armor DLC?
This so is many the fucking dumbest thing.
This is the worst idea ever. DLC is dumb. It's dead in the water. And now here we are with battle passes and everything shoved up our butts like it's nobody's business. All because of fucking horse armor.
And like, the thing is that they got this idea from Sony and Microsoft. Actually, I think more Sony, less Microsoft.
Oh, sure, Sony, yeah.
Because I don't remember, actually. I don't remember how many times Microsoft had a Series X enhanced version of a game like that you had to pay for. Sony didn't do it with their first-party games. They gave you free updates to first-party games. But then sometimes every once in a while you'd find one of theirs that did it, but for the most part it was theirs. I think it was ones where they published it, but it wasn't them that made it, that they charged 10
bucks. Like Tsushima, for example, was one that you had to pay for. Yeah,
and third-party games, some of them would and some of them wouldn't, obviously. Like, you didn't have to pay for the PS5 enhanced version of Witcher 3. You just got it. If you owned Witcher 3, you got the PS5 version, and it had a lot of work to it, as we talked about earlier. But that's where they kind of got the idea. The only problem is that they jumped way too fucking overboard, and people are going to just fucking grin and bear it, unfortunately. And then that's going to become the new norm now. Pisses me off to no end.
In this economy? God.
Yeah, seriously, in this economy? In this economy, I have to pay $30 extra to play Zelda and its DLC at 4K. Like, just that. Like, even if I didn't give a shit about the other features that get added into it, I already own the game, but now I got to pay $10 for the game to go up to 4K. Then I got to pay $20 for in total of the DLCs. It's bullshit. Yep. All right. I love this one. Third-party games, though, third-party manufacturers, in this case, some of them don't give a fuck. They're not charging $10 for it. The first notable one, honestly, it's smart on their part. This is like the smartest goddamn thing that they could possibly do, is Marvelous. If you don't know who Marvelous is, they put out actually a lot of games. They're a smaller publisher, but they're really known for the Fate series stuff and a little franchise called Senran Kagura, which we have talked about many times on this podcast.
Many times.
Only just in reference to. But Senran Kagura, which is ninja girls that briefly become fully naked when they do their transitions into their ninja costumes. Think Sailor Moon, but you probably shouldn't air that shit.
More like Sailor Goon.
Yeah, Sailor Gooning. But yeah, Senran Kagura, all those games. Marvelous has said that they're not charging for PS5 or PS5 Switch 2 updates to games. So they'll make them prettier for you, and they're not charging for it. So thank you, Marvelous, for listening to what people say instead of Nintendo.
So you just hit the nail on the head. Like, that's just like, it feels kind of shitty to me that it's just like, not only is it very possible, it's easy to do, Nintendo won't stop you. The only thing that's stopping Nintendo from doing that exact same thing is Nintendo.
Scruples.
Because
the only thing that's stopping them is scruples, and they didn't give a shit about scruples.
Oh my god, whatever. Switch 2, why?
Oh, are you talking, is this one about the cartridges, this next one?
So the
key on cartridge shit.
Yeah
Go ahead.
So this is a rumor, but seriously, will all games require an internet connection to Dell?
It's not a rumor. This is substantiated that so far every game that people have seen in Japan has a disclaimer on it that the cartridge is key on cartridge and you have to download the game. Every third person or third party game so far has been seen with this big long thing that says it's just key on cartridge.
That's why I say rumor, because it's all, like, we don't know 100%, or if that's just all the time. And yeah. So like, because that just like, because 80% of the reason why I even own a Switch is to play not online at all. Like, almost like the last 5 times I touched the Switch was on an airplane. Now I'm not connecting to the internet on that shit. So it's just like, that has me worried. If I were to buy a new game, like, I'm 10 years old again from a Game Boy, pop it on in on the airplane, now I'm fucked. It sucks.
Well, no, I think that, and we'd have to verify this, but my thought process is that the key on cartridge means that the cartridge is still the activator. Just like when you have to put in, like, for Xbox 360 games to play on an Xbox One, you could download it from the store, get the digital version for it, but then you still had to put the disc in order to verify it. So you had to put the disc in every time that you wanted to play it, but it still allowed you to do that. That's how it circumvented a lot of the DRM. So my thought process is, hopefully, that they will be having that be like a key in general. You'll download the game, but then you'll be able to play it on your Switch because you have the key on the cartridge.
So you're saying the thing that I'm worried about the most, download. If I don't have internet, or if I'm not going to be on internet or anything like that.
This is... This is the same fucking argument that we've had since the Xbox One. Come on.
But this is now a portable handheld system where the idea of you being able to play anywhere is now diminished if you have to always have an internet connection.
Well, no, you don't have to. That's what I'm saying, is you would have to download it. And then the key in the DRM is the cartridge. So you would just put the cartridge in, and then it would do it just like you had to put the Xbox 360 game in to the Xbox One in order to play the Xbox 360 game on the Xbox One.
Yeah, but you're talking about console jumps there. I got something in my eye, so I'm fucking up.
Yeah.
But what I'm talking about is on its own. If that cartridge has nothing on it but a link to download the game and the ability to unlock playing that game, that's bullshit. That's what I'm saying. If it doesn't have the actual game on that cartridge.
Oh yes, that's 100% bullshit. It wouldn't make it so that you have to have an internet connection all the time if it goes the way that I'm thinking that it goes. Now, if it doesn't go the way that I'm thinking that it goes and you buy the physical copy and all it does is give you a fucking code, then you still have to like connect up every now and then to the Switch. Like with the PS5, you have to set one as your primary console. And then if you go off the internet, you can still play all the games and it doesn't really matter. But if you go off the internet on a secondary one, then you can't. Like if it does that, that kind of sucks.
All right, let me play a scenario for you. The year is 2035. Trump's in his fifth term.
No, don't even joke about that shit.
We find am I gone or are you gone?
I think I was gone. I had like a drop. Can you hear me, Jason?
Ooh, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, my bit rate on stream peaked up to 15,000K. So it was having some issues with Twitch, I think.
Oh my gosh. We almost made it through. Almost made it through an entire episode.
Hey, but it didn't drop.
Didn't drop.
Camera hasn't frozen. Microphone's working. Stream didn't drop. We're good.
We're good. All right. So we're scavenging for food in the bombed out tunnels of whatever. And we find a Switch. And we're just like, oh my God, I haven't been able to play video games in years. I'm going to pop in this cartridge that I've been holding on to around my neck, my like faith. And I pop it on into the Switch. And it comes up saying like connect to play. That's going to be bullshit.
Well, it would be connect to download. But if the Switch already has the game downloaded, then you would pop the cartridge, hopefully pop the cartridge in.
It's and a brand it would be new like, Switch. Cool, I just found the Switch. It was in sealed in box Switch.
We know that in a dystopian future, Nintendo would still have its servers up because Nintendo will do everything possible to keep up console servers indefinitely. There is no possible way that they would ever sit there and just randomly shut down console servers for things. And then people would have to do like weird ass workarounds, like somebody staying online with one particular game like Splatoon forever in infinity in order to keep the server up and running. No, that wouldn't happen. Never. Never. That would. Oh, wait. It did.
It did. But no, I hear you, Eric, 100% that like, yes, it's not any different than like what Xbox and PlayStation are doing. And so that shit, even PC, you know, like, I mean, when's the last time you bought an actual physical PC game? Well, but that's besides the point.
Well, but I get what you're saying, though, is like, it's the death of physical pretty much completely. And I mean, we've been talking about the death of physical is going to come for years. And
100%.
And it got even worse when we were talking about how like about degradation of DVDs, that there were batches of them that caused them to decay and rot earlier. Yeah. At which point then you can't get shit off of that. Good luck watching your movie. And if that movie's out of print and they don't have it anymore, you're fucked. Like that type of stuff. But yeah, physical is going to go away. I think we're only one console's life cycle away. Not that the PS6 is going to get rid of it. But the PS7, that console generation, I think is going to
be. We already know the PS9 is going to be all nano machines. So
the nano spores that you inhale through your nose and then they connect into your brain. Because that's what I want is Sony, you know, impeding in my brain.
But they already are. But that's not, that even still isn't like the problem that I'm having. What I'm having the problem is that like, why the fuck even have the song and dance a physical copy then? If the physical copy isn't going to do shit, then why even bother building all this hardware, bother doing all this stuff just to be like, actually, it's not really a thing. It's just a gateway drug.
My hope is that the only reason that they're doing it is because they don't have their games built yet.
Okay.
So it's a launch only thing, and they're making it so that it doesn't have to go gold until the night before launch.
Yeah.
The only possible thing that I could think of as to why do this ridiculous, like why spend the money on the physical stuff when you totally could have spent so much more money on marketing that at that point. Like the physical, physical medium is ridiculously stupid at that point. You could have sold a fucking card at a GameStop that just had the code on it.
Yes. I think it's a copium. I think that they know there's still a market for them. They're just making it so that it's, you're taking away the power of what physical has. Cause I mean, like they're make it simplified with the game sharing and all that stuff like that, that you can do. It's just like, hey, you can share still, but it's now within our complete control instead of your own control. You can't sell it in the aftermarket anymore, and have fun doing your, have fun having your box on the shelf. That's not going to do jack shit. I don't know. It's interesting to me.
All right, we have to move on because now we've spent way too long on that one piece that we're like,
We're doing it live.
All right, so this is an addendum to the last podcast. The Piranha Plant camera is real shitty, and I mean that 100% wholeheartedly. This is a 480p camera. Why, Hori? And it's a third party, like officially licensed third party accessory made by Hori, who makes a lot of accessories for the Switch now and a lot of other consoles. But why?
480p is just like so gross. It's just like saying like, hey, I have all this hot sauce that you can try. And it's like, sweet, sweet, sweet. But it's mostly just that vinegar Chinese knockoff shit. I'm just like, why? No.
It's, I have all these hot sauces you can try, but they're all those like runny South ones.
Yes.
Like Louisiana, Texas Pete, Tabasco. Every once in a while, like they have their purpose. They have very specific things like gumbo put in Tabasco or the Louisiana or Texas Pete's, like those ones in there, like the vinegar works well with gumbo, but man, they're shitty on a lot of things.
you know what? To be fair, though, before we get a lot of hot sauce hate, there's a place for these. Like
no, we love hot sauce. That's the problem is we really love hot sauce.
But what this really is like saying like, hey, I have a camera, but it's 480p.
Yeah.
Oh, ridiculous.
How am I supposed to start my OnlyFans on my Switch 2 with a 480p camera? Nobody wants to see my toes in 480p. They want to see
where's that it piranha going?
Full on glorious 4K. That's what they want.
Oh, Mario fans.
Mario fans. Princess feet.
Princess feet.
All right. Okay. This one really pissed me off. And it's pissed off a lot of people, actually, too. The Switch 2 GameCube controller. Switch 1 made a GameCube. Like, they made a GameCube controller for it. And they released it with Super Smash Brothers. And it's great. It's a full reproduction of the original GameCube controller. Like everything was there. They just switched the connection point to USB mini, or was it type C? No, yeah, it's a mini B. It's a mini B for it. And they, the original one, they made a GameCube connection for it, but that was stupid. But they made an official like licensed one that had a mini B connection. I actually have one down here. So
it is the definitive way to play Smash.
Yeah, it is. It's the definitive way. But it also works with other games. So if you want to use it with other games, you can, because it is a full game, like, or a full controller. So the Switch 2 version, I don't know why my camera is not like it's there we go. The Switch 2 version only works with the GameCube emulation for Switch Online. Only works on those games.
Like, it's at this point that I'm just kind of like, are they just like inventing ways to make this worse? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like they had to go out of their way to do that.
I think that what they what happened is they sat there and they said, okay, the Wii was awesome. Everybody fucking loved it. And then we bombed the Wii U for some reason. It's like, everybody loves this fucking console, but the successor that still played all the games and whatnot bombed. And we think it was just that screen. It was just because the Switch wasn't ready for mainstream yet, so we had to go with this half jump between the Wii and the Switch, and that's the only reason that it bombed. But it made the next console that much better because everyone was like, holy fuck, this Nintendo console is actually amazing. It's awesome. We love it. So how can we do that without fully hamstringing ourselves to where we sell none of the Switch 2s like we did for the Wii U? Oh, let's just kind of quasi fuck everybody a bit. They'll still buy it. They'll just be angry about it. But you know who still buys games? Angry gamers that own a console.
So they're just like full on, like they're playing 3D chess basically is what you're saying. Yeah. They're setting it up so that their 20-year plan, like, you know, in 10 years from now, they're going to announce like not even the Switch. It'll be something
they're
different.
They're in 2035 and we're in 2025. Yeah. Like they've looked 10 years ahead of us on how to fuck people over. They're
and
so
they're just like,
they're,
hey, yeah,
they're so much better at it. They're so much better at it than we are.
You're gonna take this and like it, and then you're gonna hate it. Like New Coke. You know, you're gonna come out with New Coke, it's gonna be shitty, and then Coke Classic's gonna come out, and then everyone's gonna be like, holy fuck, this is the best ever, and everyone's gonna be addicted. All right, I see what they're doing. You got it.
That's exactly what it is. Welcome back.
Gross.
Welcome to the world, everybody. All right. Drift is still a threat in Joy-Con because they haven't fucking updated the controllers to Hall Effect, which, by the way, Hall Effect mini Joy-Con controllers, like mini joystick controllers, have been around for years. You can buy a Hall Effect one for like $8 on Amazon and swap it out in your Joy-Con right now. But no, Nintendo couldn't do that. It's not an official one, but it is official Hall Effect fucking joystick.
Yes.
Yes. And you can swap it out and it's going to last and it's not going to get you drift. Whereas Nintendo's still using the same fucking thing.
Why? What is this updating again? I don't understand. Oh,
like, you guys
this
thought
is now
that we were joking and that we were just going to be like everything was going to be like nitpicky bullshit. This is real. Like,
this
are real
this is so
problem.
Bad. This is
real
so bad.
Bad.
Oh my gosh. Like,
real
I feel bad. Like,
problems honestly, with a console that's
I
coming
feel
out.
Bad. I feel bad that we're bitching so much, but I feel like it's just like, you need to know. You need to know this is what's happening because I want this podcast to get on some mom's desk and that she's going to be like, no, I'm not going to buy that shit because I've heard just so much bitching about it already that it's not worth the time and money and effort. I don't know. I don't know what I'm hope placating my own bitchiness, but this is ridiculous.
The other one, this one's not really a bitching because there's really actually nothing that we can do about it. The Switch 2's price is going to remain at $450 in the US despite tariffs. However, accessories will probably experience price adjustments. Which is fine. And you know what? That's how it should fucking be. Because selling a console at a loss so that you can make all the game, all the money off the games and the accessories is what you should be doing.
Yeah. It's 101.
Yeah.
That's
when 101. Nintendo came out, when they made the Switch and they came out and they actually, no, when they came out, I think it was with the Wii and they said that they're actually making a profit on every console. We're like, okay, thanks for letting us know. It makes me feel better knowing that Sony loses $100 on every PS3 that got sold. It makes me feel good. Sony was doing something because they knew the money's not in the car. The money's in the gas and all of the accessories.
That's right. That's true. That's
100%
true.
All right, we're done. We're done bitching about it.
That's with the Switch. Moving
that's
on.
That's not even really a bitch. On. That's just a thing to know.
Yeah. We got technically a minute left, but we're going to probably go over just because these last things are still really good to talk about. And we'll do whatever the fuck we want because we're adults.
Yeah, talk about Michael Bay.
Okay. So I just read this literally today. And Sega Arcade Classic Outrun, the kind of shitty racing game where you're just sliding back and forth, passing people with a hot blonde in your car.
Whoa. That was great back in the day.
No, I hate it.
That was peak race car game. No. I mean, it wasn't as good as like the RC off-road games and whatnot that you could play in the arcade as well. But man, that was still peak. That was the best that you could get.
The best thing about that game was crashing. In a game that you're not supposed to crash, the best thing about it was crashing. So, the Outrun, which has zero, is about as deep as a puddle, is becoming a movie, everybody. It's going to be a movie. And it's going to be directed by Michael Bay.
And If you think this is a great idea, just remember they made a Need for Speed movie.
Yep, they did.
And it they was did. Bad.
Well, I mean, all you have to do is have just like a red car, a blonde, and amazing explosions. Michael Bay, you know what?
And you know what? You know what it really needs? Fucking Nick Cage. That's what Nick it Cage. Needs. The driver Hell, needs to be yes. Nick Cage.
It's absolutely got to be Nicolas Cage.
And here's the thing, is if it's not Nick Cage, I'm 100% not watching this movie. If it's Nick Cage, there's a good chance that I'm going to watch this movie, even if it's a train wreck, just so I can watch the train wreck.
And he's got to be outrunning the police because it's from a bad drug deal and he's high as fuck the entire time.
Oh, hell yeah. Because you know what movie that came out during COVID was fucking amazing? The one Incredible, that he did with Pedro whatever. Pascal.
Yeah.
Unbearable weight of massive talent. That movie is fucking awesome. And if you haven't watched it, you need to watch it. You want to know what else you should watch? And you should go to the theaters right now and watch it. Sinners. We went and saw Sinners over the weekend. And all of the hype, actually, was it over this weekend or last weekend? It was last weekend. All of the hype that you've heard about it on social media, that movie's fucking awesome. It slaps hard. It is super authentic. Oh, it's a deep South 1930s vampire movie.
Oh shit, that's
and it is
dope.
Super heavy, like super duper heavy black culture deep South in the 1930s. It is awesome. There's so many like cool references. You will actually learn a lot as far as like black culture if you don't know a lot of the things. I learned one new fact, which was actually the real actual starting point of wooden nickels. Because I always just heard the wooden nickels thing, like don't take any wooden nickels. And I always just assumed that that was just like cheap knockoffs of currency and whatnot. But it actually comes from old like no longer slave plantations where they would pay them in plantation money and they would give them wooden nickels for pay. And the term of don't accept any wooden nickels was because there's a good chance that if you take that money and you're not part of the plantation, you're not going to get that money back. This is the one thing that I learned from it. There's a lot of things that people will learn, but that was the one thing that I never really like looked into. And I was like, huh, now I know.
You can learn with vampires.
Yeah. And Ryan Coogler, you know what? Black Panther was awesome. Black Panther 2 kind of sucked. Sinners is amazing. Highly recommend.
Okay.
Go out and see it because the music is awesome. Like it's worth seeing in the theater just for the sound because it is very musically driven as well. So highly recommend that. That's
I'm going to check it out.
We ended movies off on a better note than what we started. Stellar Blade's hyper-realistic $3,600 statue, which I think is like, it's a 1-to-2 ratio, right? Because it's not 1-to-1.
No, it's not 1-to-1. No. And I don't think it's 1-to-2.
Or it's like 1-to-1.75. Oh no, maybe it's 1-to-4. I forget. Either way, it's sold out in minutes.
Yes.
Because, you know, Lonely Gamers.
It's highly detailed. Highly detailed. I mean, obviously, you know what you're going to do. But $3,600 for the statue, and you just know people are gonna be taking pot shots at it.
Oh yeah, but and here's the thing is like I sit there, one, I'm like, who's gonna buy this and then jack off to it? That's one thing. But two, when you actually sit there and you think like, who's gonna buy this? I don't know how many fucking videos I see on Instagram that randomly pop up of somebody unboxing big ass fucking boxes of a life-sized Goku statue and they're putting it all together and it's got it's him like going Super Saiyan and it's got like all of the power welling around him, like everything, LED lights in it, the whole nine yards. And I'm like, who the fuck paid for that? That's a Evil lot man. Of goddamn money.
In this economy?
Yeah. In any economy, though, realistically, I'm like, come on.
Realistically.
And then you look and you see that this room that they're unboxing it in is filled with that shit. Oh,
I don't even know. Like, even if you lived in your mom's basement and you had just like unlimited disposable income, that's still a shit ton of money. Like, that's still a shit ton of money.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of money. Okay. Baldur's Gate 3's final patch, we talked about that, dropped. If you haven't played Baldur's Gate 3 before, now's the perfect time to jump into it. Because not only does it have, which it's had for a while, not only does it have mod support natively in the application, but they added in like 12 new subclasses and did a whole bunch of reworking on it. So you'll get to play the game like brand new, basically. 12 new subclasses is a lot. Changes the game a lot. And it even added Hexblade Warlock in now, which is something that was sorely missing within the original release. But yeah, Hexblade Warlock's in there. You can play a lot of different stuff with it. Totally awesome. Last one is super interesting, but I have to preface this. Don't try it.
Do not do it home.
There is an actual paper on this that has proven that it works. Like, there's a theory and there's actual practice and testing on it. That if you heat lithium ion batteries to 300 degrees Fahrenheit or 150 degrees Celsius, that's right, they work out perfectly at that point. 300 and 150, like it's hilarious. They will operate as if they are brand fucking new afterwards. It resets the chemicals within it, and the chemical reactions restart up. The only problem is that if you also reheat them up to 300 degrees Fahrenheit or 150 degrees Celsius, there's a good chance that they're going to explode.
Just a little bit. But I think that the real thing of this is the actual application of what it could mean for really ion batteries, because we are running out of them. Like, especially in this day and age, America doesn't really have access to lithium mines. And so being able to have a way of restoring them.
We have access to it, but we don't touch it. Just like we don't touch our oil. We don't really have emerald mines. Yeah. And diamond mines are mostly in Canada or Africa and South America. But we do have access to lithium. Nowhere near as much as what's in other places, though. And new pockets have been found
recently. We don't want to do it, though. I mean, just like we don't want to just like drill through everything and destroy. Anyway, that's besides the point of this.
Just like, you know, we don't want to charge tariffs on any parts that come in from other places in order to build something here in the U.S. that are made out of components that we can't easily get here. Oh, wait.
We don't talk about that. I am slightly excited for the idea that there is some way of any kind of like recyclability to these things instead of just being able to throw them away. Even at a high fail rate, if it was like 50% fail rate, that'd still be better than just lining landfills with this shit.
50% fail rate would be awesome.
Awesome. Yeah.
Because you know how many lithium ion batteries there are out there? A fuck ton and a half.
Fuck ton.
Think of everything wireless, like that you have. Everything that can be taken away and doesn't need to be plugged in order to operate. That's lithium ion.
From the last like 10, 15 years? Yeah, absolutely it is. Nuts.
There was nickel metal hydrides, which, those are bad. And also extremely caustic. Not to say that lithium ion's much better, but it's slightly better. But the ability to recharge it that way is a game changer in a lot of aspects.
Well, not just recharge, but like restore it to previous functionality. But
that's what I mean by recharge it. Like, you can recharge the chemical reaction in it to restore its capacity.
And just all you have to do is bake some cookies.
Yeah. I mean, you got an oven, right?
Yeah. I mean, shit, in Arizona, 10 degrees, that'll sit down in a hot summer.
Yeah, you set it stuff in the car,
obviously, right? Yeah.
Yeah, definitely no problem there. Everyone's got phones? Yeah, we got phones, right?
Oh my God. Immortal joke.
Dude, that joke is never going to die.
That game even still, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's doing great. I'm sure that game's doing like gangbusters as well. Just ridiculous.
Probably. All right. That's it, everybody.
We did it. We made about scoring, but we did it.
Oh, I 100% forgot about scoring, man. And Jason did so much. Jason did so good. That's not even indicative of your score, dude. It should be higher. Let's be honest here. It should definitely be higher. You did a very good job. I 100% forgot about scoring. So there's our fuck up for this one. I gave like some points at the beginning, and then we just got in on it with the Switch, and I just forgot. I got hyper fixated on it. And the best part is I have the scoreboard the scoring app that we use for it, and the podcast notes right next to each other. So every time that I look at the podcast notes that are right here, just to the left of it is scoring. And I didn't do shit.
Meanwhile, I'm just over here being like, here's some points, buddy. Here you go.
And then Jason knows that I'm just going to come in and be like, price is right, bitch. All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening to the podcast. We know that you have a choice in podcasts that you can listen to. And obviously you chose maybe the right one. I don't know.
The bitchiest one. The bitchiest one at least.
No. There's bitchier ones out there. There has to be. There's no way that we are the bitchiest motherfuckers on the internet.
I think we've done bitchier episodes too.
We've done bitchier episodes, but there's no way that we are the bitchiest people on the internet. No, there's no fucking possible way. Anyways, thanks a lot for listening. You can find us on all major podcast platforms. Make sure that you tell your friends if you want them to hear people bitch about the Nintendo Switch 2 for probably the next year.
Yeah, it comes.
I mean, how long did we bitch about the Xbox One?
I think we still are.
We kind of are. Yeah, we do throwbacks about how shitty it was. Anyways, thanks a lot for joining us, everybody. You can find us at ibeatitfirst.com or ibiff.co, where you can also find then our other podcasts on other platforms of Cutscene, which is our anime podcast, which we are currently doing. Oh crap! What's the name of the anime? I totally forget.
Oh, I haven't even started yet.
Well, I haven't. I watched the first episode only to make sure that like it was a good one, but it's gonna be awesome. Oh crap! I'm gonna have to. I gotta click on the link. Oh, Wonder Egg Priority. That's it. It's right. I was like, there's egg in it, and it's just random words thrown together. Wonder Egg Priority. See, there you go. Like that, I just proved my point that it is weird. But Wonder Egg Priority, which if you like Puella Madoka Magica, boy, have we got a fucking anime for you. So tune into that. We'll be recording that one in 2 weeks. For it. You can also find Patch Notes, which is where we do interviews with devs every now and then. It's kind of random as to whether or not you get you'll get an update for it, but hey, every update is a gem.
Sparkling gem just for you.
All right. Thanks a lot for joining us, everybody, and we'll see you guys in 2 weeks for Cutscene and 4 weeks for the I Beat It First podcast.
Later on, everybody.